You're listening to Immaculate Conception Podcasts, recorded every Sunday at the 11 o'clock Mass at our new church located at 411 Palmer Road in Columbia, Illinois. For more information about Immaculate Conception, please go to www.icc-columbia-il.us. Our pastor is Father Carl Scheer. And now, enjoy the podcast.
It is an adventure to come to this church on the Sundays of Lent. I never know what symbol is going to be posted in the sanctuary. On the first Sunday of Lent, it's always something from the scriptures. First Sunday of Lent, 2 weeks ago, it was a loaf of bread, because Jesus said, not on bread alone are we to live. Last week, it was that crazy tent, which, quite frankly, was a rather dumb idea that Peter had in the scripture after the transfiguration. Today, we have the withered fig tree that refused to bear fruit. They did not ask me, I would have voted for the burning bush. But the fire department would not allow that. So come back next week and the week after. You don't know what in the world you're going to discover. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We all play the blame game. Most of us would swear on a stack of Bibles that we don't do that, but it is one of the most common human behaviors that we all share. When something goes wrong, we got to find somebody to blame. And this happens at all levels. When there is a natural disaster and we can't find any human to blame, our lawyers call it an act of God. So even God is not exempt from this process. When there is some kind of a failure of human engineering, for example, if a bridge collapses or a dam fails or God knows what, you could bet your last dollar that after the dust settles, they're going to appoint a blue ribbon commission to study what went wrong, find out who is to blame, and try to make sure it doesn't happen again. This happens at all levels. At all levels of government and human activity, we all do it, and that's just the way it is. When the athletic team has a losing season, it's usually the manager that gets canned. It's not his fault most of the time. It's the goofy players he had to work with. But that somebody's got to take the hit, and so the manager goes. Then crops up on some other team down the highway someplace. When a business fails, when the bottom line doesn't show a big enough profit, somebody's head is going to fall and somebody will replace that person. And on it goes through every dimension of human life. Whenever something goes wrong, big or small, we hurry very quickly to make sure that the blame doesn't settle on us and is transferred on to somebody else. We have many names for this kind of behavior. What are some of the names? Scapegoating, passing the buck, denying responsibility, and on it goes. Even in the world where I work in between Sundays in criminal justice and prison systems, I mean, the whole system is set up to be the scapegoat for everything that's wrong in society. So on it goes. You ought not to be surprised by this, and it's not going to stop just because we might want it to. If it's any consolation, this was going on 2,000 years ago at the time of Jesus. We'll start right there at the gospel. They brought up some current events to Jesus. Hey, Jesus, what do you think about this? And they gave two of them. First one, apparently Pontius Pilate, who wasn't too neat of a guy to start with, had crucified a bunch of people from Galilee because they were trying to upset the Roman government and everything else. And so he needed to make an example of them. And so people, in order to shift the blame off themselves, said, well, they got what they deserved. And Jesus said, do you think they were the only ones on whom the blame should rest? He says, we all need to repent. And then they gave him an example. Apparently, there was a construction accident. The place called Siloam is really a neighborhood in Jerusalem. Same place they had that pool that is mentioned in another scripture. But apparently they were putting up some kind of a high-rise building for those days, probably two or three stories, and the scaffolding failed. And 18 construction workers lost their lives when it all collapsed. And people said, they probably sinned some kind of way. And Jesus said, don't try to shift the blame just on those people. We all share in it. We all need to repent. And so this is the same thing that is told to us about the Israelites in the Old Testament. God sent Moses after appearing to him in the burning bush and told him to go lead the people out of Egypt. But as the scriptures observe, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, most of them failed the test. They were not faithful to the covenant that God made with them. And it's kind of a hard lesson to accept. The scriptures tell us that these things happened as a warning and an example to us. It's too bad so many thousands of people had to perish to give us a warning, but that is indeed how the scriptures see it. So here we are on the third Sunday of Lent, right in the middle of this very serious season. The honeymoon of Ash Wednesday has worn off some time ago. Easter's still too far in the future, no matter what the weather may tell you today. So here we are, right in the middle of Lent, faced with the very serious business of how to deal with the problem of evil, especially as it exists in us. That's the hardest thing any human being is ever called to do, is to say, I'm guilty. It's so easy to say, well, as we heard a couple weeks ago, the devil made me do it, or the media made me do it. It's our culture. It's all my friends and everybody I have to associate with. We are called during Lent to accept responsibility for our behavior and to own it. And then after we do that, to convert and switch to a better form of behavior. So that's the bottom line of all of this. We've got to stop playing the blame game, especially at the religious and moral level, and take responsibility for our own actions. The last analysis, it doesn't make any difference at all if the rest of the world is going you know where in a bushel basket. Each and every one of us has the responsibility to make decisions for good and against evil. And no excuses are allowed. At the last analysis, we are responsible. How are we to do this? Well, the church teaches us during Lent we should use the sacred activities of prayer, fasting, almsgiving, and to be creative about them, make up new versions every single day, but do something, and like the fig tree in the parable that Jesus told, to bear fruit, or else we shouldn't continue to exhaust the soil or clutter up the ground in the orchard, which is the church. That parable of the fig tree is a kind of a sobering one in a way, because even though we believe that God's mercy is everlasting, it also teaches us that we don't have endless chances for repentance. There is not a person sitting here this morning who has any guarantee that you have next Lent of 2017 to get it right. And so even God's patience has a limit, just as this person who owned the orchard said, well, we're going to give it one more year. After that, you can cut it down. So it ought to be a sobering reminder to us that God is merciful, gives us a long life most of the time, but it is not without end. We don't have 50 million chances to get it right. And so the time for conversion is now for all that we know. That's why we have the sacrament of reconciliation offered during Lent. That's why there are so many ways put at our disposal. But ultimately, it's our individual responsibility. So now that you've got all that bad news unloaded on you about the blame game and disasters and everything else, I think it's good to remember that there is at least a little good news on the horizon. We should have got that from the story of the burning bush, the symbol I wanted to have in here this morning. Talk about natural disasters. Go ask the people in California about brush fires and those things that wipe out homes and golf courses and everything else. Fire is probably the worst natural disaster there is. But doesn't it seem almost likely that when God appeared to Moses in a burning bush and the bush was not consumed, that even there, in the worst of disasters, there is the promise of life? It's worth meditating on. And certainly during this year of divine mercy, we need to take that to heart and realize that God's mercy is indeed everlasting. But God also expects us to act maturely, not look for someone else to be blamed for our shortcomings, to repent, and to get on with the business of living the life of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.